Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. And it was not a mistake that I put the New Testament reading first and the Old Testament reading second. I did that for two reasons. One is I am preaching out of the Old Testament passage today. And also, the Old Testament passage, we are reading all of chapter 1 and the first seven verses of chapter 2. And as generous as our volunteer scripture readers are, I thought if there was going to be a longer passage and a shorter passage, that you'd appreciate me reading the longer passage. So I'll be reading the Old Testament passage in the book of Genesis. And if you have trouble finding this one, just turn to page 1. So Genesis chapter 1, starting verse 1, reading all the way through chapter 2, verse 7. Hear now the word of our Lord. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. And God called the vault sky. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and gathered the waters, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in its according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vaults of the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vaults of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. Excuse me. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vaults of the sky." So God created great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the heavens and the earth. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plants had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. This is the word of God for the people of God today. Thanks be to God. Well, today I come to the second sermon in this series that I started last week. Last week was mainly the introduction to give you the reason behind this series and a little bit of my goal with this series. Throughout this year, I'm going to be doing this semi-continuous series that I'm calling 66 Books, One Message. And my goal is to lay out for us the overarching narrative of salvation throughout Scripture. Scripture is one continuous message, one continuous story of God's love and of his work in reaching out to creation in order to have relationship with us. So this week, we come to the first real sermon in this series. You might call this sermon 1.2. You might call this sermon 2. In any ways, this is the beginning of that overarching story that I'm going to be working through. And of course, where else to start but at the very, very beginning. Verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, when God gave the words of Scripture to the original writers, when he inspired the original writers to pen down the story of Scripture, God knew that it had to start at the very beginning. Because one of the very basic questions that I think all of us as humans are bound to ask is, where did we come from? Now, we can have that on the very basic level of who are our parents. We can have that on the larger level of our family line, where did our family come from? Or we can have that on the global and universal scale of where did the world come from? But it doesn't take long for us as humans to ask that question because we know that we are finite. We had a beginning. We started somewhere. Just think of how many times you've heard little kids say, where do babies come from? Well, this passage is the biblical version of where do babies come from? Where did the world come from? It is a question that people have been asking ever since the very beginning. And when Genesis was first put down on parchment, when it was first recorded and given to the people of Israel there in the wilderness of Sinai, there were many existing stories in the world of where the world came from. Everybody asked that question, and so everybody had an answer. Every single culture in the world has a creation mythology, has some kind of explanation as to where the world came from. And coming out of Egypt, the Israelites would have heard the Egyptian mythologies of how the world began. And when they got to Sinai, and God was teaching them about himself and teaching them about how they were to worship him, he said, okay, you've been misinformed about a few things. You've heard that this is how the world was created, but now let me tell you the true story. because I'm the creator. I was there. And this is how it happened. And he began in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Just this first verse of Genesis chapter 1 has so much deep theological meaning that I could preach an entire sermon just on this one verse. In this first verse, we have the fact that God existed before creation. The question that atheists and some agnostics like to ask to try to trap us is, well, where did God come from? If he created us, who created him? Well, that's just a bad question in general, because and it shows an extreme misunderstanding of who God is. Nobody created God. He's God. He has always existed. He existed before time began. He was there before the beginning. And it was this pre-existent being, this pre-existent God, who created everything that there is. See, even the ancient mythologies of the world that had pantheons of gods, hundreds of gods, thousands of gods, each one of those gods had a beginning and an end. But our God is different. He did not have a beginning, and he will not have an end. And he, who existed before the creation of the heavens and the earth, is the one who, out of his love, created all that you can see and all that we can't see. When we have this narrative here of the 6 days of creation, there's so much in here. I could dig in deep to the fact that other creation mythologies have there being chaos in the beginning, and that creation being is something that came out of chaos, but God made order out of chaos. There was chaos, and then God created, and God created order. And we have the first 3 days of creation that you can draw a parallel with the last 3 days of creation. We have the light on day one, and we have the sun, moon, and stars on day four. And I love the vast understatements of verse 16. If you look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 16, this is in the middle of day four. It says that God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. This is obviously the sun and moon. And then at the very end, almost as an afterthought, there's this little bitty statement. He also made the stars. Have you ever been to a planetarium and looked at the vastness of the universe? Everything that exists outside of the earth, the sun, and the moon was described in this one tiny little phrase, he made the stars also. Talk about an understatement. But it just goes to the majesty of God. God knew that it would be thousands of years before anybody knew just how intricate and detailed the creation of the universe was, and yet he still went through the effort of creating the vast enormity of space and all of the beauty there is in there. But that's beside the point. I'm distracting myself. Then we go on and we have day two with the waters and the sky, and day five with the birds and the fish, and then day six with the dry land and the plants and all the vegetables, everything. And then on day six, we have the land-bearing creatures. And of course, we have us. We have all of this story of creation leading all the way up until verse 26. And then verse 26, because this is the most important part of the creation story. Then God said, Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. In verse 27, so God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Verses 26 and 27 answers the question of where did we come from? God created us in his image, in his likeness. In verse 27, male and female, he created them. There have been those throughout history who have used the generally masculine terminology that exists in the Hebrew, just because, you know, Hebrew is different than English, and in most cases, a masculine term, when used in general, is used to describe all of humanity, not just those of us who can grow facial hair. And people have used that language barrier to try to promote some kind of sexist ideology about the Bible. But verse 27 on its own should eliminate any questions that there is. Male and female, he created them in his own image. All of humanity, male and female, are created in the image of God. And that means that every single human being on the face of the planet, from the unborn baby that was conceived yesterday, or even today, to the oldest person on the face of the planet, laying in what may be their deathbed, every single human being on this planet is of infinite worth to God because they are created in his image. We are created in his image. Now, one other little thing to point out in verse 26. Many people in looking at the Old and New Testament will say that the idea of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, didn't come into existence until the New Testament. And they have this idea that the Old Testament God was not Trinitarian, that God was not Father, Son, and Holy Spirit from the very beginning. Verse 26 proves that wrong. Because God did not say, let me make mankind in my image. What did God say? He said, let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness. Well, who was he talking to? He wasn't talking to the angels. We are not made in the image of the angels. We are made in the image of God. What you see here is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit saying, let us make man in our image. We are made in the image of the Holy Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I want to move on a little bit more. We have the rest of the creation going through chapter 1. And at the end of everything, after he had seen that all that he had made, including mankind, God looked over all of it, and he said that it was very good. He said that we were very good. We have these stories of the origin of the universe coming out of chaos. We have the origin of the universe being a complete accident. We have the origin of the universe being taught as something that happened by mere chance, as an accident, as some cosmic mistake. But brothers and sisters, that couldn't be further from the truth. We were created by a loving and infinitely imaginative Creator God. We were not a mistake. We are a well-thought-out plan. We are the handiwork of God. God painted the masterpiece that is the universe. God paid infinite attention to detail in creating our unique genetic code, in creating the intricacy of a single leaf or a single snowflake. the intricacy of a single molecule, a single neuron. God created that. I was in a genetics class in college, and they talked about how much DNA we share with other things on this planet, and how starting at 50% of our DNA, our genetic code is very long. Up to 50% of our DNA matches every single thing on this planet, including fruits and vegetables and everything else. Upwards of 60 and 70% of our DNA matches most animals on this planet. And upwards of 80 and 90% of our DNA matches those animals that scientists say are more closely related to us, those that look a little bit more like us. And of all of humanity, do you know how much of our DNA separates me from you? The difference between my genetic code and your genetic code, if I remember correctly, is something like 0.2%. Now, secular scientists and biologists and geneticists look at this to try to prove secular ideologies of where we came from. I look at it and I see the fingerprint of the Creator. I see the signature of God in that. But in 6 days, according to Scripture, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, are these six literal 24-hour days? I'm not going to go into that big debate right now. If you want to have that debate with me, I'd be happy to do it another time. I personally believe that these are six literal 24-hour days. There was evening, there was morning, day one through six. That is my personal conviction and my understanding of this passage. If you disagree with that, come have a debate over a cup of coffee with me in my office one day. I'd be happy to do it. But after the work of creation, on day seven, God rested. Now, why did God rest on day seven? Was it because he was tired? No. God rested on the seventh day in order to create the Sabbath for us, because he knew that if he didn't ordain a day for rest, if he didn't tell us to take a break every once in a while, we would work ourselves into an early grave. I saw a post on Facebook just this morning of someone who was not a Christian. He said, "Man, I worked hard. I worked myself hard for 3 months straight. Didn't take a single day off, and then my body just had enough, and I was knocked out for a week." You think God knew what he was doing when he created the Sabbath? He created the Sabbath for us, a day of rest, a day to spend with him. And thus we have the first week of existence, the first week of this world, with our Creator God intricately creating everything. So we start with the big picture. And I told you last week in the introduction to this series that we start with the big picture and we would be slowly focusing our way into the one to whom Scripture points to, which is Christ. So chapter 1 is the big picture. This is how God created everything. When we get to chapter 2, starting in verse 4, we have the question of, okay, this is how God created everything. Now I want to tell you exactly how God created us. I want to tell you exactly how, on day 6 of creation, God created man and woman. And so we have the story in chapter 2, the narrative in chapter 2, verse 7. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And we have this picture of God taking his hands and him forming this sculpture in the dirt. And he formed a very wonderful inanimate object there. But then, God breathed into that inanimate object, and he became a living being. God made us out of the dust of the earth. This is something that we say every year at Ash Wednesday. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you will return. God created us out of the dust of the earth, but then he breathed his own breath into the lungs of that first man, into Adam. Only by the breath of God, the breath of life, did we become a living soul. Without God, we are nothing. Without God, we are simply a pile of dust. But through his breath, through the power of his life, we are not simply animals roaming this earth. We are living souls. We are human beings made in his image. What a powerful testimony to who we are. Genesis chapter 2 goes on to describe how God saw that Adam was alone, and he said, "It is not good for man to be alone, and so I will make a helpmate for him, a companion, a true partner in life." Not an assistant. That's not what he meant. He meant a true partner in life. And it goes on to tell how God put Adam to sleep, and he opened up his side and took out a rib and formed Eve from the rib of Adam. And they came together, and in verse 24 of chapter 2, it says that when they were joined together, they became one flesh. God created us, both of us, or all of us, in his image, both male and female. He created them for each other. He created them for relationship. He created us for relationship. Now we have this narrative of creation, this in-depth description of how God created time and space. Did you notice what it said in chapter 1 about why he made the sun, moon, and stars? Not just to bring light onto the earth, there was already light. How did we have light before the sun, moon, and stars? I don't know. God said, "Let there be light." Voila, there was light. But God made the sun, moon, and stars to establish time, to establish the seasons, the months, the years, to help us tell time. Time is not a construct of humanity. God created time. We have all of this intricate description of how God created, but the one question that doesn't seem to be answered here in chapter 1 is, why did God create? And that's another question that people have asked. Why did God create? Did he need to create us in order to be God? No. When we look at the very character of God, and we look at who God is, everything that he is, he was before creation. We see God, a loving God, who is holy and just. And before creation, God was complete. There was relationship before creation. He didn't create us so that he could have someone to love. There was already a loving relationship going on there within the Trinity. Love of the Father to the Son, and the Son to the Father, and of the Father and the Son to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit to the Father and the Son. There was love, there was relationship there within the Trinity at the very beginning. But Dr. Steve Siemens says in one of his books, if I remember correctly, it's Ministry in the Image of God. He said that it was out of the overflow of his love that God created. That there was so much love in God's heart. There was so much love in the pre-existent relationship of the Trinity that it was out of the overflow of that love that He created us. He created us for relationship because He wanted someone more to share His love with. He didn't need us. God didn't need to create us. He did so out of love. That was His whole reason for creation. And He created us in His image. An image that includes relationship. God created us for relationship. When He said it is not good for man to be alone, it is because He knew that we needed to be in relationship with other people. God created us for relationship. God created us for love. Love of Him and love of each other. And in the beginning, when God created everything, He looked at it and He said that it was very good. He looked at Adam and Eve and He said that they were very good. He looked at marriage and He said that it was very good. God created marriage right there, Genesis chapter 2. God created marriage. It's not just a social contract. It is a holy covenant established by God. And He said that it was very good. And in the beginning, we have Adam and Eve placed in the garden, and there was perfect love, perfect relationship. You notice that at the end of chapter 1, it said that all things that live upon the earth were given vegetation as their food. Hate to break it to all of you who love bacon as much as I do. In the beginning, we were all vegetarians. But who knows what kind of fruits there were in the garden. Maybe there was a fruit that tasted like pork. But the reason for that is because there was no death. There was only life. There was perfect relationship between God and humanity, between humanity and the rest of creation. And it could have gone on that way for forever. But in order to have true relationship, there had to be choice. And we'll read next week of what that choice led to. But knowing that there would be that choice, and knowing that eventually somebody would make the choice to give up this perfect creation in pursuit of their own ambition, from the very beginning, God had a plan. A plan that would eventually lead us to the cross. So that perfect relationship that existed in the very beginning could one day exist again. Genesis chapter 1 is the creation story. At the end of the Bible in Revelation chapter 22, we have new creation. In chapters 1 and 2, there was that perfect relationship between God and His creation. And in Revelation chapter 22, that perfect relationship, that perfect peace, that perfect love will be fully restored again. We were created with a purpose. And that purpose was God's love. So next week we'll look at how we messed it all up. But this week we end on the note that God looked over all that He had made and said that it was very good. He created humanity in His image, two people, made for each other out of love, to live in perfect unity with each other and with God. And as the church, that is our calling as well, to live in unity with one another, to love one another, to be in unity and love with God. So as we come to the table today, let us come with our hearts open to meet our loving God in this place. Amen? Amen. Amen.